Welcome to Wealth Radio on News Radio KLBJ with author and wealth manager Chris Herrlein. Join the conversation. Call or text now at 512-836-0590. Now, here's Chris Herrlein.
I'm live in studio with you today. This is Wealth Radio on News Radio KLBJ. Thank you for joining us, making this part of your week. And as always, got a lot to cover with you today, but just want to remind all of our loyal Wealth Radio listeners, this show is driven by your agenda. We'll always bring some meat and bones to the table, but join me now, whether it's Social Security, Medicare, taxes, retirement income planning, estate planning, and more. 512-836-0590. Let me tell you why I cleared my schedule and I said, I got to get in to the studio today. And there is a lot of moving parts out there. There's a lot of ambiguity. Everybody knows that. And we haven't spent too much time talking through the tax proposals lately. And I'm always cautious to dive into the proposals, the changes that could come to fruition, but we never want you making financial decisions based on what ifs and, you know, whens. So the reason I wanted to open today's program like this is because for many that have listened to us, we love Roth IRAs. We love Roth 401ks. We love Roth conversion. We feel like it's a terrific tool to get the control you seek in retirement. And just last week, around September 13th, the House Ways and Means Committee released explanation of many of the proposals that, you know, we knew were on the horizon, but there was two that really stood out to me. And I said, you know what, I got to at least let our Wealth Radio listeners know, because I think these two will pass. I think they will come to fruition. And if they do, it's going to start a clock that many retirees have not had to face. All good things come to an end, they say. And the good news about these laws is I believe that if the current administration in D.C. wants to tax the wealthy more than the middle class, these two things will impact the wealthy more than the middle class, more than likely. And so mission accomplished in their agenda on that front, if these come to fruition. But for years, we've spoken about families taking dollars in pre-tax accounts, IRAs, 401ks, and converting them into Roth IRAs. And as we speak right now, you can do that. In fact, taxes are on sale so much right now that I believe many, many of our successful families in our firm at REAP Financial are going to do larger conversions likely than they ever have before. Not just because taxes are on sale, though, because they're informed about what I'm getting ready to inform you about. And that is, what could be the elimination of the backdoor Roth IRA? Now, there's two things, remember, I'm going to cover with you today, but we're going to start with this one. Is the backdoor closing? And the backdoor Roth IRA has been very popular for over a decade. And it allows higher earners, those of you working out there that have earned income, to make a Roth contribution, but you do it through the back door. See, for those of you out there that are married, that make over, let's say, a couple hundred thousand, you can't put money in a Roth IRA directly as a contribution. But what you're able to do, and you got to love the government for making you jump over a couple hurdles here, but what you're able to do is you can still make a non-deductible traditional IRA contribution. And then within the same year, you can convert it to a Roth IRA. So in essence, you're doing the same thing. You just got to kind of go through the back door. That's why we call it that. Now, with that said, if you have money in an IRA already and you make a non-deductible contribution and then try to convert it to a Roth in the same year, you can do that. However, there's a pro rata rule that you want to consult with a CPA on, a fiduciary advisor on, to guide you through what your tax liability may be if you take advantage of that. For our younger listeners out there, maybe your 20s, 30s, getting into this savings game, and maybe you have climbed the ladder and maybe you're over the income limits. You want to research those. But if you're just opening a Roth IRA and a traditional IRA today, and you were to make a $6,000 contribution as you're under 50, a $6,000 contribution to your IRA and then convert it to a Roth, there'd be no tax as long as you didn't have any money in IRAs outside of it. So a great saving strategy for younger people, obviously, and even for younger people that are over the income limits. So if the House Ways and Means Committee sees this thing come to fruition, then we will see the elimination of the backdoor Roth IRA, effective January 1, 2022, as it's written right now. So you can see how this impacts higher earners, right? The more affluent. But then they took it a whole nother step further. And this is one that even caught me by surprise. Again, let me preface, this hasn't passed yet. But if it does, it's going to put an incredible emphasis on many of our listeners, many of our clients to get in the Roth game. Because the next thing that stood out to me was the idea that they could eliminate Roth conversions altogether. Now, clients ask me and our team of advisors all the time, could they get rid of Roth? And I always say, why would they get rid of Roth conversions like this? Why would they do that? When you convert your $50,000 or $150,000 a year to Roth out of your IRAs or 401ks, the government gets paid. They get their money today. They don't have to wait 30 years while you take required distributions out of it. But we got into it a little bit further and identified that they're not going to eliminate it altogether. They're going to eliminate it for individuals that make over $400,000 a year, married couples filing joint over $450,000 a year. Now, I know, many of you just kind of tuned out and said, oh, I'll never make that kind of money in retirement. Careful now. Careful. If you think about what your balances are worth today, and you fast forward 10 years from now, your money, if it's invested correctly, should be worth double, if not more. Could you be in a position then? And you're saying, well, Chris, I'm not going to be working. How am I going to have income? Well, for those of you that have pensions, you're going to have income. Those of you that got Social Security, you're going to have income. You got real estate income, passive investment income, dividend income. You see where I'm at? But then, and this is the main reason families consult with our firm. They come in, they've got plenty of wealth, and they got plenty of tax problems along with it. And here's what happens. For those of you that have done the best of saving in your IRAs and 401ks, you could have a couple million dollars very easily in these pre-tax accounts. We see families with $4-6 million in these pre-tax accounts every day of the week. And their required distribution come 72 is a few $100,000 first year. And then it goes up from there in many cases. And so the picture I'm painting here is that if you've amassed a large amount, million, 2 million or more, in these pre-tax IRAs, 401ks, you need to be aware of this. Because you could be in a position where through the income you have, through the dollars you're living on, and required distributions, you may be surprised that you could be a lot closer to that number than you think. Now, if this thing passes, and I truly believe it will, what they're saying is it won't go into effect until 2032. That's great news. Why? Because it buys us nearly a decade to get after it. 512-836-0590. 512-836-0590 to join me today. We got a lot to cover. Thanks for tuning in with me today. We'll be right back with you.
Live, local, and independent. This is WealthRadio.com with Chris Herrlein. Join the conversation. Call or text now at 512-836-0590. Now back to Chris.
That's right. I'm back in studio today, live with you on this beautiful Saturday. It's 1:18 p.m. and you can join me now, 512-836-0590. Whether it's Social Security, Medicare, taxes, income planning, and more. So we just wrapped up first segment, and I got to just put a stamp on it. The idea that they could eliminate the backdoor Roth will potentially happen effective January 1, but it will truly only affect higher earners, because most of you out there, you can do a Roth contribution. The second thing we discussed was the idea that you may see the elimination of Roth conversion altogether for higher income earners, not everyone. I just want to be very clear on that. But for those of you that have done the best of job saving, you need to be in the know on this, and we will absolutely report to our Wealth Radio listeners once things become clear. And this is the nature of retirement, right? You got to bob and weave, you got to stay informed, and that's why so many of you are listening. 512-836-0590. That's the number Sam called. Hey, Sam, welcome to the program.
How you doing?
Doing great.
I got a couple of questions. I'm retired. I'm 73, fixing to be 74, and I'm in real good health. And I'm getting myself set up to, to leave stuff to my children. And I've started to convert my traditional IRA. I've got about 475,000 or so, and I've converted already 50, and I'm going to do another 50. My CPA says I can do 50,000 and still stay in. I'm in the 12%
good
tax bracket,
right.
So I can. He tells me I can do 50 and stay there. So I'm doing 50 a year and plan to convert everything I can. And I'm just taking the minimum distributions requirement, and I'm just paying the taxes with my minimum distribution part. So I really think that I'm going to have at least 10 years for those loss to grow. Now, I understand that if I leave those, I don't think unless something catastrophic happens, I won't need any of the money. And I understand if something happens, if I pass away, those Roth are inherited by my children. What do they have to start taking minimum distributions, or can they wait, or how's that going to affect their tax?
Yeah. So Sam, first of all, the idea that you're leaving Roth IRAs is fantastic. If you have a value, and any of our listeners have a value to leave money to kids, chances are taxes could be much higher 10, 20, 30 years from now. And so I commend you on that front. The kids used to inherit Roth IRAs, and anything that comes out of it is tax-free, obviously, because you paid the price of admission to get it in there over the years. And the old law made it to where they had to start taking a small piece out through a required distribution, whether they were 20 years old or 50 years old or 72 years old, which is today's RMD age. And they could slowly drain that thing over their lifetime. And we could see, generational Roth IRAs left. But 2 years ago, they passed the SECURE Act. And now that means that any Roth IRAs and or traditional IRAs will have to be fully distributed within 10 years. So they could take it out in equal distributions, or they could wait till the very end of 10 years to take it all out and let that compounding effect happen. I've got clients, Sam, that even dictate in their trust that the kids can't touch the Roth money until year 10 so that we can get the maximum compounding, right? So it's going to be up to you, but ultimately, no matter how they take it, when they take it, it will be tax-free as long as it's coming to them in a Roth IRA.
Okay. Okay. And so they can leave it in there for 10 years. And, you know, you mentioned something there that I was thinking about also. You said a trust. I don't have a trust right now, but I understand. I don't know a whole lot about them, but I understand that that would be the way to go, that it would, you know, almost like take the place of a will, or nothing would have to go through probate or something like that. So is a trust a good idea? And, you know, can I put my home in it?
Yeah. Sam, I think a trust is a wonderful idea for families that are planning on leaving wealth to heirs. And the reason is yeah, the ease of transfer of these assets, right? You nailed it. With a living revocable trust, which is very simple to establish, there's not multiple tax returns while you're living. It's just tied to your social. It really gives you, Sam, control of the money when you're 6 feet under down the road, right? And a lot of families, they've got multiple kids, and maybe one doesn't share the same values of saving and spending that they do. And so in that case, you know, Johnny's going to get a lump sum when you pass, and then Mary may get it over 10 years or 20 years. So you can also fund your trust with brokerage accounts. You could put the name of your checking, savings, money markets in the name of your trust, the deed of your home. And when you fund your trust like that, then upon your passing, whatever has been funded in the trust will go around probate. You can get the courts and some of the attorneys out of the mix in many cases. So it's really just more of a control and ease of wealth. It's not necessarily, this trust is not, you know, any sort of tax mitigation. This sort of trust is not a liability protection tool. It's really just more for control and ensuring that, you know, things are distributed, you know, per your wishes.
Yes. And like the home, if it goes in the trust, there's a difference between if I sold that house and try to just give them the money now versus if that thing's in a trust and they inherit the home, do they have to pay the capital gain that I would have to pay if I sold the house right now?
Well, under today's law, they would get a step up in cost basis. So if the house is worth $1 million today and they inherited it tomorrow and sold it relatively quickly, chances are they'd pay little to no tax. So that may be a better strategy than you selling it, having to pay the piper, and then leave them cash or investments for that matter. However, the thing we're watching close, Sam, is a lot of these tax policy changes up in D.C. One of the things that they are touting is maybe a potential elimination of a cost basis. So that means whatever you paid for the house early on, if that was left to the kids then, yes, they would face tax. Now, that hasn't passed yet, but that's something we're watching very close, and it's got retirees like you, Sam, going, do I reposition assets today under the current laws to, you know, hedge against those changes? Possibly. I wouldn't say go make any quick moves just yet.
Yeah, and I'd heard that. And what puzzled me was is, you know, once that house goes to them, how is that value? I mean, how would they figure the capital gain? Because they don't know what I paid for it.
Your attorney's going to have a couple phone calls, and your CPA too. It's going to be an administrative nightmare. I don't see how they're going to get away with it. In fact, if anything, they may pass it saying, hey, anything over $1 million, anything over $3 million loses the step up. Who knows how it's going to pay out? But, you know, if you're an attorney or a CPA, it's going to be a busy season.
Yes. Well, I'm in a particular situation. You know, I bought my property and my house, you know, back, you know, 25 years ago, and everything was, you know, cheap.
Oh,
and now I've got so much capital gain in it that, you know, I don't know if I can sell it, you know.
I agree with you, man. You may just hold that puppy. I mean, it's a great, great market, probably best in the country, and it'll keep going up.
Okay. Well, you mentioned that trust. What did you had a name of the trust? What was that? A living
revocable trust is what most families use, and it's very straightforward. It doesn't need to be real expensive, depending on the complexity of your family situation. But it's something that mostly are using. Go ahead, Sam.
Who does that? I mean, who do I go to get that done?
Well, Sam, most estate attorneys can manage establishing a will and trust for you. In fact, Sam, if you want to, I'll have our producer, Matt, get your email address offline here. We're about to go to break, and I'll send you a couple that we've vetted thoroughly and that service hundreds of our families that we trust. So happy to send you a couple recommendations, and you can do your own due diligence.
That would be great.
Thank you, Sam, for your call today.
Hang on.
Okay, and your listenership. Matt, I'll let you take that. 512-836-0590. If you want to join me today, we're talking about a number of things, many of these tax proposals that are changing, but I want to get into the mistakes so many families make when it comes to Medicare. Medicare is a terrific tool, and it's very comprehensive, and it can be very affordable. I said can be, but almost 90% on a recent survey are paying more out of pocket than necessary. And these things can add up over a 20, 30-year retirement career. We're going to get into that and a lot more at 512-836-0590 to join me today. It's 1:30. It's time for the news.
Live, local, and independent, this is WealthRadio.com with Chris Herrlein. Join the conversation. Call or text now at 512-836-0590. Now back to Chris.
Welcome back, Chris Herrlein. We are live today. It's 1:34 p.m., and we thank you for making us part of your weekend. And I want to just let you know we've got plenty of time today. Join me at 512-836-0590. And I thank Sam, our last caller, for some great questions that were very relevant to many of our listeners. What I wanted to dive into this segment is I just wanted to share with you some of the Medicare mistakes that you really need to avoid. And, you know, Medicare is a great program. It's very comprehensive and it can be very affordable. The way that the majority of the laws in this country are written as we speak are written around your income, not your net worth. I'll say it again. Most of the rules in this country are written about your income, not your net worth. And that's why I preach, I want you poor on paper. I want you broke on your tax return, millions in the bank. This is how successful retirees are doing it. But many retirees spend more money out of pocket than they really should when it comes to Medicare. And depending on your income in retirement, well, you may be paying exponentially more. You could be paying hundreds of dollars more per person for the same coverage your neighbor's getting for maybe $250 to $300. A recent source that I was reading through concluded that about 90% of Medicare beneficiaries pay more out of pocket than they need to be. And it's really not that surprising. I mean, Medicare it's a complicated program. And since Medicare open enrollment is almost here, I think this is very timely. Open enrollment for Medicare is October 15th through December 7th. And many of you may just go online and open a My Medicare account. You can do this at Medicare.gov if you haven't. And the account is going to give you access to Medicare's Plan Finder tool, and it can allow you to really customize and, you know, tailor a plan that's right for you. And most of you that are on Medicare A and B, you may be on Part D as well, the prescription drug plan. So it takes me back, you know, many, many, many years ago, my wife and I, we had a company that helped low-income families get free prescription medications through the pharmaceutical companies if they qualified based on their income status. And many of these applications to qualify for these subsidies were very complex. Before we knew it, we had hundreds of families all over the country dialing in our 800 number every single day, every single week. And it was a great service for our community and for many low-income families. And I'll tell you, I remember it like It was yesterday, 2003. George Bush had signed in the Medicare D bill. And because it was such a sweeping piece of legislation, it literally put our business out of business overnight. It was an amazing learning experience for me as a younger person because, you know, diversification, right? It was a tremendous business. And, you know, it just reminds me that Medicare D was put in effect back in 2003. And it's a great program. It really is. So many of you are on Medicare A, B, and D. And then many of you may be getting a supplemental plan. And there's supplementals, there's Medicare Advantage. And, you know, again, you want to tailor your coverage to what makes sense for maybe you and your spouse. But Medicare Advantage is something that many people, they select or elect that, and it's comprehensive. But a downside to Medicare Advantage is that you can't pick your medical providers and usually need approval for treatments and medications. Also keep in mind, if you move the same plan or even move to a comparable plan, you know, that may not be available in your area, depending. So much of Medicare, believe it or not, is zip code specific. Depending on where you live in this country, you may have to pay more. You may have to pay copays that others throughout the country don't. But Medicare can be very, very affordable depending on the type of plan you choose. There's 10 Medicare supplemental plans or policy types. And, you know, there's Medicare G. I mean, the list keeps going. I mean, the alphabet is right in front of you. But here's the biggest problem that people run into when it comes to their Medicare. They get on it at 65. Life's good. It's very comprehensive. And then, like our caller Sam today, he's got a very highly appreciated home in the Central Texas market. And it's crossed his mind time or two before to sell it. Well, if Sam were to sell his house, depending on his capital gain, he may have to pay exponentially more for Medicare premiums in the coming year. Why? Because Medicare premiums are dictated by your income in retirement. So selling a home, selling an investment property, selling highly appreciated stock, doing a large Roth conversion, retiring and getting a nice company bonus or some stock options that are vesting, or a Roth conversion. All of these types of income that show up on your 1040 could raise your Medicare premiums. So the objective is to be aware of what the income limits are. And there's many, many tiers. I think there's 5 or 6 tiers of Medicare. And so you aren't going to just go from the base premium to the maximum premium in most cases overnight. Some do. But the point is that you need to be in the know before you're selling off highly appreciated homes and capital gains and doing Roth conversions that could trigger these things, these increase in premiums. And in our analysis with so many successful families throughout the year, just like you, we find that families could be paying literally hundreds, if not, we have some cases, $800,000 more for Medicare in their retirement, over their retirement, than their next door neighbor for the same Medicare A, B, D coverage. I'm not making that up. I mean, most Americans have nowhere near $500,000 saved. So the comparison I'm giving you is a family that is able to keep their income under $176,000, a married couple. That's income and capital gains and Roth conversions count towards that. So if you keep it under that each year, your Medicare will stay, you know, at the base. But then when you cross those, that's when it goes up. And families go, well, okay, well, I got to sell the house. My Medicare premium is going to go up. I got to sell stocks. My Medicare premium is going to go up. Do I have to pay this spike in premium for life? That's the good news. It's not irrevocable. In most cases, families come through our office and they've got a large capital event they're navigating, and we just have to price it in sometimes. Yeah, you're going to have to pay capital gains tax, and your Medicare premiums may go up. But after we get through another tax cycle or two, likely your premiums will come back down to reality. But there is a situation where many of you may find that your Medicare premiums go up, and then they're stuck. And possibly they may even keep going up. Can anybody guess? Anybody guess what I'm talking about? Many of you are right. It's when your required minimum distribution hits at 72. Because maybe you're living on brokerage and bank cash and all sorts of things. And you're controlling your tax bracket. But then, come 72, maybe you're forced to pull out $60,000 or $150,000 or $300,000 day one. And it's all based on how much you've saved in these pre-tax accounts, obviously. So you've got to take income you don't necessarily want or need that is not going to just raise your tax bracket, meaning you're paying more tax on Social Security, but it also means possibly you're paying a lot more for Medicare. And that's the disappointing thing, is that the required minimum distribution, it doesn't just go away unless you've been systematically and strategically trying to reposition assets, just like Sam was talking to me today about. You know, and so what happens is your RMD kicks in, and if it spikes you above those income limits, well, then your RMD more than likely goes up each year because the government wants their money. The percentage you got to take out goes up. So we find families that can actually be stuck, and then you're paying $500 or $600 a month per person for Medicare. And you add that up over 10, 20, 30 years, and you can see how I'm arriving at the idea that families could pay $500, $800,000 more for Medicare premiums just because they did a good job saving. You're seeing why I want you poor on paper, aren't you? That's going to be my next book, I assure you. 512-836-0590. You can join me today. Let's take a quick break.
Like what you hear? Make sure you never miss a show again. Go to wealthradio.com and subscribe to have it delivered right to your inbox. Now, back to Wealth Radio on News Radio KLBJ with Chris Herrlein.
Chris Herrlein, I'm back with you today. We are live in studio. It's 1:49, and we thank you for tuning in today. Two things I want to just mention before I dive into our last subject here. You know, my loving wife, she may be listening right now. I know she was listening because I got a text from her in the last segment saying, hey, Medicare B was enacted in 2006. It was signed. The bill was signed in 2005. I mentioned earlier 2003. So, honey, thank you for keeping me accountable to our listeners here with those correct dates. Secondly, is we talked in the last segment about Medicare and how most of our families, the clients we serve, are generally finding themselves in elevated Medicare premiums at some point in their retirement. And it's just, it's so powerful when you can identify that. And you know what that number could be based on your income, based on your required distributions. And so what I want to do, and I didn't clear this with my team, but I don't need to. What I'm going to do is offer five of our listeners today a customized Medicare analysis. You don't even need to come into the office. We'll do everything virtually, and we'll need a couple pieces of information, but not too much. And I'm going to tell you right now, this is an incredible value. And it's time consuming for my team. But what I want to do is offer five of our listeners today a customized Medicare analysis at no cost. and I'll walk through it personally with you. Email me right now, chris@wealthradio.com, C-H-R-I-S, chris@wealthradio.com, and we'll jump on the line with you next week and get a great report to you. It's customized. It's about 20-plus pages, and it's going to be an incredible tool for you planners out there, you engineers that like data. You're going to love this, and it's at no cost. chris@wealthradio.com. Look forward to getting that done for you. So we're in our last segment, quickest hour of the week. And, you know, a lot of people this year are moving money to our firm. They're making decisions. They're making changes. And one of the things that I want to make sure that our listeners know is that when you move money in your IRAs, your 401ks, as long as it's done right, in most cases, there's no taxable event. There's no penalties in many cases. But that's if you do it right. There is more than 30 types of rollovers out there. And they're all called different things. You know, conversion of a traditional IRA to a Roth IRA. That's a rollover. A rollover done correctly, let's say 401k to an IRA, is tax-free. But when it's done incorrectly, it can get very, very expensive, very, very fast. And one of the ones we see the most is the 60-day rollover trap, we call it. This is the one that's done daily, the most frequently, throughout, you know, our office and many financial offices. And this is where you're going to roll sometimes a 401k to an IRA. And so you're going from one custodian to another in many cases. The best way to do these rollovers is just to have the custodian manage the transfer for you. Do a direct transfer. But some people, they want to use the 60-day rule because it allows them to take money out of their IRA as a distribution, even as a 401k. And it's usually a check made payable to you. You can deposit that money and you can use it. And you got this 60-day window. And as long as those dollars, the exact dollar down to the penny, is put back in your IRA or another IRA for that matter, within 60 days. You just had essentially a tax-free loan. Why do people use this strategy? Well, maybe you're under contract on a house. Your other house hasn't sold yet. You want to pull money out of your IRA for down payment. And then your other house is going to close, maybe within 30, 45 days. And then you replenish that money you took out with the proceeds from the sale of a home. That's just one of many ways people use them. But there are tricks and traps when it comes to these 60-day rollovers. You have to roll over the same property that was distributed. So if it was cash distributed, then the rollover must be in cash. If you distributed shares of stocks or mutual funds, then you have to roll over the same number of shares of that same stock or mutual fund. The only loophole to that is when you receive distribution of property from an employer retirement plan, like your 401k, such as, let's not call it a 401k, such as like stock, you can sell the stock and roll over the cash proceeds into an IRA. That's really the only time. But another trap out there is when you take the distribution as a check from a 401k, you know, the 401k administrator, when you do this and it's made payable to you, they have to withhold 20% of the account balance for federal income taxes. Now, you'll get that back after you do a successful rollover and you file your taxes come April. But in the interim, you must come up with that 20% from another source and include it in the rollover. We don't want that. If you want a tax-free rollover, you must roll over the amount of that distribution to another IRA. And generally, you want to roll that over, made payable. If they're going to request or they're going to require a check, I should say, you need to have that check made payable to the custodian for the benefit of you. And then in that case, you can take the check to your financial advisor or to the bank or your custodian and deposit that there. So again, this stuff sounds easy, right? But people do this incorrectly all the time. And in some cases, like if you miss the 60-day window, folks, if you missed it by a day, whatever distribution you took out, you're going to pay tax. It could be a huge tax bomb. So just be mindful of these things. Whether you're retiring, whether you're selling a business, whether you're forced to retire, if it comes to you moving money in between accounts, in and out of accounts, beware, very aware of that. And one last little tip here is the idea that if you are 55, 56, 57, and you retire or you're terminated from the company, what do most people do? They roll it over to an IRA. If you kept it in the IRA, you're 55, 56, 57, you can actually access that money without a penalty. You have to pay tax if it's a pre-tax IRA, like a traditional IRA or 401k, right? Excuse me, 401k. But think about that. If you needed to bridge the gap, like you plan on going back to work, maybe you wanted or needed to access that money to bridge that gap. If you roll it directly to an IRA upon termination, you can't touch that money till you're 59 and a half. That's a little magic age when it comes to the rollover game. Keep that in mind. So we've had a great show today, and it was great being live and taking your calls. And I just want to reiterate one more time to take advantage of that Medicare analysis that's customized. We're going to do that for five of our Wealth Radio listeners this coming week. Email me right now, chris@wealthradio.com, and we'll be happy to get that completed for you. As always, thanks for making this part of your weekend. We'll catch you next Saturday, 1 p.m.
The following program is sponsored by Reap Financial Group, LLC. Investment advisory services provided by Reap Financial Group, LLC, a registered investment advisory firm. Opinions expressed in this broadcast are provided for information purposes only and may change without prior notice. Information presented should not be regarded as a complete analysis of the subjects discussed and should not be construed in any way as an endorsement, an inducement to invest, or an offer to buy or sell any securities. None of the sales content should be viewed as personalized investment advice. A professional advisor and tax professional should be consulted before making any investment decisions or implementing any of the strategies presented. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk and therefore can be no assurance that any specific investment or strategy will be suitable or profitable for a client's portfolio. The tax and estate planning information offered on this program is general in nature. Always consult an attorney or tax professional regarding your specific legal or tax situation. The firm only transacts business in states where it is properly registered or excluded or exempt from registration requirements. Registration is not an endorsement of the firm by securities regulators and does not mean that the advisor has attained a particular level of skill or ability.